Comedy Podcast, episode 2 of the Cancer Series. Welcome back. Welcome back, everyone, and welcome and thank you for listening and passing on the Cancer Series. This is part 2, where I speak with the doctors in 2 separate little interviews that I've compiled into 1. The pre-op interview. And sorry, I keep popping my peas, so I'll pull that away from my face. Kent Allen saying thanks again. And that's what we're going to be listening to here. So this is, if you haven't listened to the first episode of the Cancer Series, it's when I explained that I have been diagnosed with esthesioneuroblastoma, which is cancer of the olfactory nerve of the right side, the right olfactory nerve that is in my nose. That's a cranial nerve, as you all know, that runs directly. It's a home run nerve for you electricians out there. It runs directly from the brain to the nose. It's in charge of smell. And as you know, smell is also closely linked with taste. So they talk about that. They also talk about the fact that the tumor is growing, albeit it looks that it had not moved on beyond that nerve. It's intruding into the eye, into the right orbital socket, brushing against one of the muscles there, or two of the muscles there, encroaching into the eye. I hate that penalty right there, right? I should at least get a five yard penalty for that. At least I'll take 5 yards. And also encroaching towards the brain, sitting, because it comes right out. It's right there on the cribriform plate, running just below the brain. So the dura mater is sitting right on top of that. So they're going to have to do a little movement there, see if the mater is, if the meninges have stuck to it. And sorry, I have a little bit of a cold, just so you know. Everything's going well. Everything's going well, albeit though I have a bit of a sinus infection and excuse me, I'll get back to it in a minute. But the both my eardrums are inflated, so I have to keep going. And they're not popping back. So everything sounds like I was just in front of a fireworks display of big bangers, of M80s. So everything's kind of, and I can't pop the damn thing. But that's all right. I can still hear, at least when I put on the headphones. So the tumor is resting on that mater. And they have to lift it up, see if it's stuck there. Anywho, they're going to take a piece of that away and then use some fatty tissue from my body. They're going to harvest it and stick it up there and plug that son of a bee. Also take some fascia from my leg and use that little matrix to stick up there and create a makeshift mater, makeshift dura for me. And so it's an interesting couple of conversations that I had here that I'm going to put together for you. What I was so impressed by and also reassured by is that these two doctors that are leading surgeons in the field of ear, nose, and throat and neurosurgery, just how professional and compassionate and poised with their bedside manner that they are. And it really put me at ease. It put my parents at ease, who came in, because, you know, of course I'm going to have my parents, not only for the fact that they're parents, but they are, you know, leaders in their field. My mom was the first EMT paramedic instructor in San Francisco. So she taught everybody there, aside from the fact that she was already an ICU nurse at the age of 20, and spent, you know, huge amount, grew up in emergency medicine and medicine in general. So she has been around with the original pioneers of emergency medicine and surgery. And of course, my father being a firefighter paramedic for his in San Francisco history and just being a legend. I mean, who else am I going to bring along? They're the two that I couldn't be gifted with any better professional people to, you know, have ideas and questions bounced off of, to the doctor and so forth. So anyway, I just wanted to point out that surgery sounds extensive. It is a bizarre, random cancer, but it's not so random that they don't have protocols for it. And I was definitely reassured by speaking to these two, and just their calm, their real confidence, not arrogance, that they brought to the talk. So, hey, pass this on to anybody that's interested in cancer, or anybody that has cancer, or just, you know, wants to listen to some fun stuff like cancer stalking. It's hilarious when you think about it. Hey, I'm this close to dying. Okay, all right. So what am I going to have for breakfast? I don't know if that's funny to you, but it is. When you wake up and you're like, yeah, shit, I'm alive again another day. Let's have a nice cup of coffee. But I mean like a good cup of coffee. Because who knows how many more times I'm going to be able to have coffee, or at least taste coffee. Because they may pull this son of a bee out of my head and then no longer have any taste or smell. And that would be okay, provided that I keep on living another day. So, you can find us on, you've already found us, but www.tromedypodcast.com, Stitcher, iTunes, so forth. Tell your family, tell your friends. We're keeping it going. It never ends, the Tromedy Podcast. Here we go with the episode.
Hello, everybody.
Everybody's here. How are you?
I'm doing well. Dr. Ledger.
Ken Allen, nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
Mary.
Mm-hmm. Hi. Nice to meet you. Come on in, have a seat.
Well, it's a good start, so.
So let's start with, what do you know so far?
Esthesioneuroblastoma starts in the ethmoid sinus, encroaching on the orbital socket, or already has, possibly touching on one of the muscles there, going through the cribriform plate into the brain, resting against the dura, possibly into the dura.
So you know everything?
That's
all
about
right.
Where I'm at.
Well, good. So you already met with Dr. Fong, I guess, then?
I spoke with him on the phone.
Okay. So the whole reason for coming up this way is where this thing sits is the junction point between what head and neck cancer surgeons can do and what the neurosurgeons do. And so ultimately we have the setup here to be able to do, to kind of get those two sides together basically,
right,
and meet in the middle.
Right.
The biggest question that I have at this point now, the neurosurgeon that we work with most, his name is Wee Duong. He's up here in Sacramento. And,
mm-hmm.
We tend to do these skull-based cases together.
Okay.
Usually myself, one of my partners, Dr. Pody, she and
okay.
I kind of come from underneath, and if we can do this endoscopically,
yes.
Because the big question that I'm asking, that I have out to him, and he's got to look through the imaging a little bit more, is can we do this endoscopically?
Right.
The biggest concerning part, frankly, if there wasn't the component that you were talking about that goes out towards the eye,
yes.
No slam dunk, easily an endoscopic case.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
The question is just going to be whether or not we can get the angle that we need to get that back piece out.
That's what I heard, okay.
You don't have any vision symptoms or anything?
No.
I think that it is pretty darn unlikely that we'd have to do anything crazy to be able to, you know, to work. To,
by crazy, you mean
like
coronal cutting?
No.
Or you mean?
I think it's, when I'm talking crazy, I'm talking about having to remove the eye as
right.
part of the resection.
Right,
I don't
okay.
think we'd have to do that.
Okay, okay.
Just so we can lay that out
uh-huh.
up front.
Uh-huh.
The big question is, does Dr. Duong think he can get... Does he need a coronal approach
right.
to get the anterior and superior access,
right.
and for that matter, to get out to the side where it goes into the eye, or can we do it all endoscopically?
Okay.
And my suspicion is that he's going to suggest that we try it endoscopically.
Okay.
That's my suspicion.
Try endoscopically, and then if not, call an audible during surgery.
Exactly. Yeah. If that's what we had to do.
Right.
So I think we would plan to be prepared for both eventualities, but really
right.
attempt. A solely endoscopic approach.
Okay.
Because most of the tumor is completely amenable to that.
Okay. Very good.
So,
good.
Yeah. That's kind of my two cents on all that piece of it. And it's just the one little piece of information I need from him.
Okay. When do we find out about that?
I have a call into him today. He's operating, and as soon as he's done, I'm gonna call him back, and we'll get that answer.
Good.
He's got to look at the MRI and let me know what he thinks.
Okay.
The good news from the rest of the imaging is it doesn't look like there's anything anywhere else.
Okay.
It's just the isolated thing, which is the most common way that this presents. It doesn't usually metastasize or anything.
Okay.
So we got to get in there, get it removed,
yeah.
get the skull base reconstructed,
yeah.
and get this done with.
This is very typical, right? A lot of people think they have allergies for many, many, many weeks, months, sometimes a year or so. And then when something like this happens, like bleeding that doesn't stop, they seek medical attention. And someone look up in the nose and realize there's a mast and get a biopsy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It is esthesioneuroblastoma. The mm-hmm. treatment for that is basically resection and radiation.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And the goal of the surgery is to clear out all the margins in this area.
Right.
It looks like it's respecting the septum here of your nose.
Good.
So this side is good. This side is affected.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think it's on the septum here. It's probably just pushing on it. So there's a layer here that's probably separate from the tumor itself. It comes from this epithelium down here, mm-hmm. you know, below the brain here.
Mm-hmm.
The reason why you're seeing a brain surgeon for a nose mm-hmm. stuff is this, it comes right at the skull base.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I'm a skull base neurosurgeon that do operate in and around this area. I'm also an endoscopic skull base neurosurgeon that operate with an endoscope.
Excellent.
So I think we can do this via an endoscopic route without doing craniotomy.
Fantastic.
Okay. And I've done bigger surgeries than this with tumors invading into the brain and still can go endoscopically.
Uh-huh.
So I think with it being like this, there's a good chance we can get
right.
all of it endoscopically.
As with the intrusion into the orbital
uh-huh.
socket.
Exactly. So this is, that's all the right questions. It's like you're setting me up for it. So this part is the part that goes into the orbit here. So
yeah.
Up the, this comparison here, some kind of scan. This is the part that goes into the orbit here. So
yeah.
Body, the superior rectus, medial rectus muscle here.
Mm-hmm.
I think there may be, it's just pushing onto the periorbita, which is the covering around the orbit
yes.
itself.
Mm-hmm.
So what I do is I'll try to peel it off of the periorbita and then sample the periorbita
right.
to make sure that it's negative. So basically the goal of the operation
right.
is to take this from around here, go out here, peel it off, take it off the periorbita, and then the last piece is going up into the cranium, into the
mm-hmm.
the anterior skull
mm-hmm.
base.
Right.
Right. And at the end of the surgery, one of the risks of having this operation is CSF leak, cerebrospinal fluid.
Correct,
right?
Right, sure.
And there's ways to repair it. The other thing that you should note also, the goal of this operation is to clear this tumor.
Yes.
A
mm-hmm.
locally aggressive tumor, so we have to clear this tumor. That means if we have to take the rest of this left side here, I have to take it, you're gonna lose smell.
Right.
Right. Most people don't really care about that.
There's no other way around.
Yeah, there's no other way
yeah.
around. We'll try to, if it doesn't, let's say this tumor peels off on this side alone. I sample a little piece of mucosa over here and it's totally negative.
Mm-hmm.
Then I may be able to save some of your sense of smell over here. There are basically four things that are responsible for your sense of smell. Right. So there's if you look at the nasal cavity like this, in the middle, right? Here's the skull here, and here's the brain sitting up here. The olfactory fibers come down like this. There's the nasal septum that goes down the middle.
Mm-hmm.
So the fiber comes down and it goes over here to the superior turbinates, goes to the
mm-hmm.
septum on this side, goes septum on this side, goes superior turbinates on this side. Okay, so we're gonna basically follow the tumor where it goes. Most likely I'm gonna take this guy,
mm-hmm.
right? Take this here, and take this here, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I'll sample this. If I need to go
mm-hmm.
over here, I'll take this also. But even if I
mm-hmm.
take that, there's some nasal epithelium here, so the residue that you make.
Sure.
Still preserve smell.
Is that still connected to the olfactory nerve?
Yes, the olfactory nerve is up here.
So,
this way.
So we don't have to take the entire nerve itself?
No, we'll see where the tumor looks.
Of course.
Like. But the olfactory nerve I would have to take when I go up here into the brain.
Yeah. Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, when I cut off the olfactory nerve off of here like this, I'll take a sample here, make sure it's negative.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Basically,
mm-hmm.
clearing margins here.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I'll take off that periorbita here also. Right, and make sure I clear the margins nicely for you.
Thank you.
So it is an endoscopic approach
mm-hmm.
with this, and I do with our ENT surgeon. You met Dr.
I did. Ledgerwood
already.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
I work quite a bit with him in some of the bigger
yeah.
complex skull-based cases that invade the brain. We do
yes.
a lot of cases together. This is one of the kind of cases we do here.
Okay. When does the reconstruction take place?
At the same time.
Yeah.
So we basically... You do the resection,
uh-huh.
you kind of get on either side of it, in front and behind it, and deep to it, get everything out. make sure that we send our margins off to see
right.
if there's no tumor anywhere left on any of those edges.
Right.
And once the margins come back negative, we it depends kind of on what the hole looks like at that point.
Uh-huh.
But much of the reconstruction is done with synthetic materials, this stuff called Durigen, which kind of lays up against your dura to protect the skull base there, protect the, to help it reline.
Uh-huh.
Sometimes we have to use bone. To, that we either can take from the skull or from, or we can use cartilage from your nose. There's all kinds of different things that we can do.
All right.
But much of it really just depends on what do we have to put back there.
Right.
So most
how much
of the time,
is there to put back, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Exactly.
Right.
So if we're able to do this all endoscopically,
mm-hmm.
then essentially what you, when you wake up, you'll have packing in your nose. It's
mm-hmm.
kind of holding everything up so that it can seal, it heal and seal where it needs to.
Right, right.
Versus if we do this as an open approach, we'll probably have to do it either through a, what we call a hemicoronal incision or a bicoronal potentially,
right.
Which we try and hide behind the hairline and all that kind of
mm-hmm.
stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's pretty unlikely that we'd have to do that.
All
I
right.
think we can do it endoscopically.
Good. Okay. That's all good news.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. What else can I tell
okay.
you?
Okay. Let me get a whole list of things.
Oh, yeah.
You
yeah.
tell me. I mean, I've been, you know, nothing like plenty of time to think about.
Oh, yeah, of course.
So how long typically is this surgery?
It is typically, I would say, somewhere between 6 and 8 hours.
Okay.
By the way, surgery took 11 hours.
Okay. All right.
Just most of the day, we pretty much would block off the entire day just to kind of do what we needed to do.
Right. Okay.
If it's endoscopic, it tends to take a little less long because there's not the whole closure that you have to do with all the skin and everything else to get
mm-hmm.
things closed
mm-hmm.
back up.
Mm-hmm.
So somewhere around that.
Okay.
I should add on that, the other thing that determines that is if we get everything cut out, we send the margins, and the margin's positive, we're going to cut more.
We keep cutting. Right.
Until we either can't cut something else out,
uh-huh.
or until it's negative.
Okay. Okay.
I usually call a nasal septal flap.
Mm-hmm.
There's a...
You peel it back.
I peel it back from the septum on this side.
Yes.
I use that, and at the end, we cover that nicely, and then you'll have some kind of packing in your nose. Usually, some Meristel packing, like a tampon sponge, nasal
mm-hmm.
sponge,
right.
or a balloon inside the nose that stays in for at least 3 days,
mm-hmm.
depending on how it looks like. And then
mm-hmm.
I'll take that off, make sure you don't leak before you go out.
Right. So you'd know by headaches, you'd
mm-hmm.
know by
mm-hmm.
dizziness, obviously.
You'll get a CT, no. I mean, by exam, and
yeah.
CTs, and MR. So
mm-hmm.
after surgery, you'd be in the ICU for at least a day, maybe 2 days.
Right.
Okay. It's just for observation, make sure you don't leak. You get a CT postoperatively. That same day, you get an MRI the very next day to see how much we've gotten or if there's any residuals at all.
Put a flap between the dura and something else. Is that what you're talking about, like duriform? Or
so, if we do an open approach,
right?
You use a pericranial flap, which is you heard of periosteum? It's the,
yes.
It's the lining right over the bone.
Right.
You basically can fashion a flap out of that
okay.
that we can lift forward and protect while we're doing the surgery.
Right.
And then you take that and you actually lay it intracranially along the floor.
I see.
Basically that with, I mean, this is sort of a simple oversimplification, but you pull the brain back, lay this underneath it so that it recreates the floor and then let the brain rest back over it.
Okay.
So that ends up serving as the barrier between the nose and the brain.
Right, okay.
As one of the barriers. It's actually one of the pieces that we would use for that.
Right.
Typically speaking, if we do this endoscopically, we don't need to do that. We can do we have other approaches that
okay.
Including, there's another thing called a nasoseptal flap, which is we use it off of the septum, the lining, the kind of the midpoint.
Mm-hmm.
You can actually lift a big flap off of there that
just
stays.
Just shave off a flap of the septum.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And then you can use it and just kind of rotate it up and in
sure.
and seal it up to place, and that works quite well as well.
Very good. Okay.
If for some reason the nasoseptal flap is not a good candidate for repairing the skull base, let's say it was involved for some reason, and
mm-hmm.
we have to take that, and then we'll find other ways of doing it. One option is to take a little piece of what's called fascia lata down the thigh here.
Mm-hmm.
It's good, nice, your own fascia
mm-hmm.
to line up that cavity. The other thing is to take pericranium, on covering your,
right.
your bone is a pericranium.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I take that and fold it into the skull base, but these are options that we have to repair the skull base. Depending on how big the tumor is. Just imagine if the tumor is really big, and I've done big tumors that expand the nasal cavity into the cranium.
Mm-hmm.
We're able to do that.
And you're still able to do that.
Mm-hmm.
How often do they leak?
There's a 5% chance or less of leaking
okay.
on big cases like this.
Okay.
Okay. But that's just the national average. Even whether you go endoscopically or open surgery, 5%.
Right. You're breaking
through
the dura.
5%.
Right.
Yeah.
It's
going
to do
and it's dura on the skull base. So there's ways of doing it. I take some fat, put and plug it up there.
Mm-hmm.
I put a collagen matrix to help it heal, and
mm-hmm.
I put a nasal septal flap.
You've done these a couple times?
Yeah, I've done them a couple times.
A few times? Okay. Yeah. Good to know.
Yeah.
All good
you're,
news.
Let's just put it this way. You're in the right place.
Okay.
Okay.
Good to hear.
We're asking Ledgerwood too. Do you know of any specific reasons or causes why people get this tumor?
There's a huge spike for all cancers in firefighters.
Right.
Yeah.
It's the carcinogen that's
yeah.
in the air.
Yeah.
Of course.
Right. Of course.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Yeah, that's all I got. Thanks for meeting me on
oh,
such a short
anytime.
Notice.
Yeah, we're I'm in surgery today, but I know you wanted to come in.
I did.
Yeah.
So obviously,
yeah.
sooner the better. I just
yeah,
want to show
glad,
how serious I am.
No.
But, you know.
I know. I'm glad I can fit you into.
Yeah.
That.
Me too.
Right.
Yeah.
Me too.
And I'm glad you were able to come today, but feel free to call me or
mm-hmm.
call the office or make another. If you want to come in again,
mm-hmm.
let's say you have other family members who want to come in and
oh,
talk
right.
before the surgery, you feel free to come
just
in again. Just let
guys.
Me know.
Yeah.
Just let me know. I often
right.
do that.
So the main goal then is I'll try and start digging with my scheduler to find some time
mm-hmm.
to see if we can do anything before that.
Mm-hmm.
If not, don't, I mean, it's easy for me to say this, but don't lose sleep over it. We'll still get done. We'll still get things. I don't think it's going to change anything dramatically. I wouldn't wait like 2 months or 3 months for this by any means, but I think a few weeks is not, we're still within the realm of what would be reasonable to get this out. But I will do my best to get it done.
Please.
That's all I need to hear.
Yeah.
I will do my best.
Okay.
So we'll go from there.
Very good.
Okay.
Yeah. Thanks for meeting with me.
My pleasure.
Really
thanks for coming
it.
Out here. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Do you get a card?
No,
you can put on your dart board at home.
I recorded this thing too. Just
of course.
Like, yeah.
I don't think I said anything stupid.
No, you said I wouldn't know if you did.
Well, fair enough. Right? Come on. You know more than almost anybody that's ever walked in this room, okay? Come on.
And the surgeries are usually early in the morning.
Yes,
so we
this
should
is
spend the night the night before to get here because
come up, enjoy
traffic
the weekend.
Is, yeah.
I'll make some restaurant recommendations.
Right.
And then, yeah, we start first thing.
Mm-hmm.
We just basically lay out the entire day for it. Whatever we need to do. Sometimes we're able to get things done quite early. But just we do what you do.